Drama across Europe as match day five started with a bang in the UEFA Champions League. There were more than 20 goals across the nine matches, including three for Chelsea, who turned on the style against Barcelona. Juventus edged a thriller in Norway. Leverkusen stunned Manchester City, and there were stories galore elsewhere across the continent too. We'll review every game and look ahead to a huge Wednesday in Europe's top club competition. Hello, I'm Chris Parrott, and what a night it has been. 3 weeks away for the UEFA Champions League. It returned in style, and some teams are looking very handsome in their positions in the live league table. I'm delighted to be joined by European football expert Kevin Hatchard and commentator Phil Blacker this evening. And Kevin, it didn't disappoint. Nine more games and some very important wins for a number of big European clubs.
Yeah, I think that's the key. Important wins. There were statement wins for teams that were already in a good position, but there are also massive wins for teams that really needed them. Loads of goals, great stories, classic Champions League night.
Phil, we're going to get into it shortly and in more detail. You commentated for Matchday Live on Chelsea, Barcelona, a sensational performance from Enzo Maresca's side.
Absolutely brilliant from the Blues at Stamford Bridge, expecting the sternest of tasks against the level of opposition that they were up against, and they really turned on the style. Their biggest ever victory against Barcelona, it could have been by more as well. It was a complete collective Chelsea performance, and one that will make the rest of this competition sit up and take notice, I'm sure.
Certainly will. So Chelsea winners against Barcelona. It has just finished, actually, in Germany. Borussia Dortmund have seen off Villarreal. Manchester City 0, Leverkusen 2, one of the stories of the night for sure. Bodo Glimt 2, Juventus 3, that was very, very entertaining in the Arctic Circle. Napoli seeing off Karabag. Marseille with a brace and Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang seeing off Newcastle. And it finished Slavia Praha 0, Athletic Club 0. Benfica in one of the early games saw off Ajax in Amsterdam, and Union Saint-Gilloise went to Istanbul and beat Galatasaray. Another very impressive away performance. There were lots in the nine games on Tuesday. But let's begin our review at Stamford Bridge. As Phil just mentioned there, Chelsea took on Barcelona and they were simply stunning.
Chelsea have taken this corner quickly, and it comes back the way of Marc Cucurella inside the penalty area, fitting it in, or Pedro Neto over the line and in. And this time, Chelsea are clear to start the celebrations. This time the goal is given and the pressure pays off. And Chelsea lead Barcelona by a goal to nil. It will go down, as we suspected it would, as a Jules Koundé own goal. He got the inadvertent final touch. Here is Cucurella on the move down the Chelsea left, and he was just caught, painfully so. And this is going to be very costly, because he was caught by Ronald Araujo, who's already been booked, and the Barcelona captain is sent off here. And the game takes another twist just before half-time. And Barcelona, already a goal down, are now a player down as well. Rhys James and Chelsea, and now Estevao to take on Kubasi, and he's away from him. Balde in support. Oh, but he's left it in. That is absolutely brilliant from Estevao. When the angle looked against him, he has found a way. Found the angle, found the power, and Chelsea two up now against Barcelona at Stamford Bridge.
Sado helped out. Andre Santos, they've worked it well at Chelsea. Pedro Neto has Delap ahead of him. He's got Enzo Fernandez in space to his left as well, and he's played the pass for him. Enzo Fernandez squares it, and Delap sticks it away, but the flag has gone up again on the far side. Yes, the goal is awarded. It has been overturned, the decision this time on review, onside, and it is Chelsea 3, Barcelona 0.
Statement performance from Enzo Maresca's young team, Phil and Kev. I mean, as we heard there, they could have scored a few more, had a couple of goals disallowed, and really, some other good opportunities. It could have been 5 or 6, and would that have flattered Chelsea had it been that?
Not necessarily, given just how vibrant a performance this was, how dominant a performance this was. Scored three further goals disallowed. Have to say they were all correctly disallowed. The officials were brilliant, got everything spot on. But some of them were close calls, you know, fine margins that could easily have gone the other way. And Chelsea were clinical when they took their chances. When they went 2-0 up, that fabulous goal from Estevao, that was only their second effort on target of the game at that stage. But at no point did they settle for what they had, did they try and contain. Helped, of course, by playing against 10 for the entirety of the second half. But as we know, that's not always an easy task, and they dealt with it brilliantly. They maintained that same sort of desire and intensity that dominated the first half right the way through the game. They were able to freshen things up, bring on some exciting young talents to underline the strength and depth in their squad off the bench the longer the game wore on. And all this against opponents who arrived in such fine form with, you know, Barcelona had not failed to score in any game of any competition all season on a remarkable run of scoring in the Champions League dating back 24 games, and yet could barely get close to that Chelsea goal once the early stages had gone and Chelsea had assumed control. So it was a performance really that was hard to fault, hard to find any sort of weakness with, and everybody played their part in that. There were some outstanding performers, but what impressed me the most was just how collectively they did it, how everybody knew their roles, everybody supported everybody else, so well drilled, and maintained that level of concentration and physical fitness to do what they did for so long was remarkable, really.
Just on that point, actually, we're just seeing a replay, and I spotted it at the time. Liam Delap with the third, having come off the bench. He had to wait. Initially, he thought he was going to be offside. Checked, he was onside. The love of his teammates to celebrate his first ever Champions League goal and first of this season. Yes, he netted in the Club World Cup. You could see a serious togetherness. You saw it in the performance, but also in how they were enjoying each other's successes, which says a lot about the spirit that is in this Chelsea squad.
Yeah, I think it's a group that's growing together. And I think, you know, you've got a nice little mix there. We talk a lot when we talk about Chelsea about their young players, and we talk about how they've assembled this squad. But there are guys like Cucurella, who are real leaders, Caicedo, who's still young but has a lot of experience now, even though he's 23, he's actually played a lot of games. And that's really coming to the fore. I think Maresca deserves enormous credit, because I thought he got his team absolutely right, putting that pace into the front four, getting in behind that high defensive line, and all of his changes were perfect as well. I think it speaks to the quality of Barcelona that the two best performances of any team in the league phase have been necessary to beat them. Paris first, when they went to Barcelona, who were unbelievable in the second half of this game, and Chelsea, who had to be top level for 90 minutes to beat them. So, you know, Barcelona might feel a bit unfortunate that they've probably been on the wrong end of the two best individual team performances in the league phase.
Shall we talk about Estevao?
Can we?
18, arrived in Europe from a huge institution where he played a lot of games. But this evening against Barcelona, the quality of the goal, Phil, the all-round performance, this is a teenager who certainly has the ability to take this competition by storm for many a year.
And he's already doing it, isn't he? We talk about the potential that he has, as Chelsea did when they signed him at the age of 18 now. He's already performing at this level, and he's embracing it, he's enjoying it, playing with a smile on his face, playing with freedom. A wonderful goal that he scored, which I think it was a goal that encapsulated everything that's good about him and what he brings to this team, and trying the unexpected, really. And that's 3 starts now in the Champions League, 3 goals for Estevao. He looks right at home straight away. And I think it can't be underestimated how difficult it is to come from where he's come from Brazil, to play in the Premier League and the Champions League at his age straight away. I remember at the Club World Cup, of course, he played for Palmeiras against Chelsea, didn't he?
Yes.
And I remember Cole Palmer saying after that game how he'd gone to him straight after the whistle had gone, spoke to him, said, we can't wait to have you. We're looking forward to playing with you. And Cole Palmer was asked, what was Estevao's response? He didn't understand a word I said. And yet he's come into this team and looked like he's been here his whole life.
But I just wonder on that point, because as I mentioned, from a very young age, playing for a club the size of Palmeiras. So in terms of being able to step up to European football and the Champions League, this is a youngster who has played under huge pressure.
Yeah.
Since, actually, for a very long time now. Are we seeing kind of the benefit of that? Because you don't play for Palmeiras unless you're very, very good. And there is a demand every week. You have to win. They're a giant of South American club football.
That's the key, because he was playing for a team of winners. Palmeiras were winning things, so that level of expectation was there. And Abel Ferreira, who's been a very, very successful coach for them, you know, he doesn't just give people a place in his team on a whim because they might be good. You have to be good each and every time. You look at the way he stepped up for Brazil, scoring goals, playing games, deserving his place in the team. We're talking about a guy who plays with absolutely no fear. And I think the best players in the sport are the guys who do that. Lamine Yamal's a great example of that. You know, you look at all of the top players. Cole Palmer's another one, actually. It doesn't even enter their mind the pressure of the situation, because they just love to play and they thrive when that pressure gets cranked up.
And I think what he did at Palmeiras as well speaks volumes about his character, doesn't it? Because this was a kid from the countryside of Sao Paulo who came to a huge football club with those sort of expectations that you mentioned. Debuted for Brazil as a 17-year-old. He made his senior debut for Palmeiras at 16. Everything that's come his way in the game, he's just taken in his stride. And people question when he made the move to Chelsea. I don't think they question whether he would be a success because of what he'd done, but maybe they thought it would take a little bit of time to hit the ground running in the fashion that he's done in a new club, but a new country, a new culture. It's remarkable.
Apparently, one of the things that drove him towards Chelsea was that part of the Chelsea pitch to him had been, we see you as somebody that can play in a central role in the long term and can really do damage through the middle. And I think we're starting to see that already, because he's a winger at the moment, but he can drift into those central areas. And when Palmer's in the team, they're going to be absolutely superb together, I think. So really, really exciting player with the perfect stage upon which to develop. I mean, he's going to be one of the best players in the world. I have no doubt of that whatsoever.
But we actually didn't even mention, yeah, without Cole Palmer, this success as well. Good point, Kev. Chelsea up to fifth then, on to 10 points. Barcelona on 7 points and in 15th. They weren't the only excellent winners on this Champions League Tuesday. Manchester City 0, Leverkusen 2. A first defeat for City in this Champions League campaign. They remain in the top 8. That could change, of course, tomorrow with the fixtures. But for Bayer Leverkusen and their new coach, going away to any Pep Guardiola team in his whole career, let alone Manchester City right now, that is a big, big result for them.
Yeah, I've been really impressed with what Kasper Juhlmann's done, actually. We know what he did with Denmark at international level. And he is such a good man-manager. And what he's been able to do is unite this group. He's been able to get the best out of a lot of young players, taking 22 points from his first 9 league games. They play exciting football. Alex Grimaldo scored the first goal, I think, has been excellent. He's really gone up a level this season. He was already very impressive. So, yeah, while this is a surprise in some senses, the way they've been playing means that it makes sense what they've been able to do.
You mentioned Grimaldo, who got the first brilliant finish from inside the penalty area. Patrick Schick got the second on 54, but we can hear now from Grimaldo, who was obviously delighted at full time.
Really happy, very proud of my team. I tried to help all the young players. Yeah, we did a really good job today. We play with personality, with confidence, and that is the most important thing, because there are many young players and they play really well today.
Yeah, the sort of result, a bit like Chelsea actually, that can really bring a squad together. Great scenes of celebration in front of the away fans as well at the end. And Leverkusen 13th now on 8 points. Manchester City still in the top 8 on 10 points, but their unbeaten start has come to an end in this season's league phase. Next, another German team victorious, Dortmund 4, Villarreal 0. Very impressive night for them, and from the moment really they took the lead on half time, Kevin, they were in control.
Yeah, and this was really important for them. I think they've played some of their best stuff in the Champions League. I think that might be the third time they've scored four goals or more in a league phase game. So very, very impressive.
Top scorers, yeah. 17 times that they found the back of the net. 11 against. So if you want drama and entertainment, watch Dortmund as ever.
That's the Dortmund way, as we know. But I think they've really embraced this competition in recent seasons. Of course, a couple of seasons ago, they got to the final and played very well against Real Madrid at Wembley, got to the quarters last season. So they've developed for themselves a certain level of expectation. And Niko Kovac has been in charge since February. And I think the general feeling at the club is that they're making big strides forward.
And they're up to fourth in the live league table. Villarreal currently, after this defeat, are 34th, 1 point to their name, but it is tight. They're only 4 points off a top 24 spot, and as we saw last season, a couple of wins in the back end of January and almost anyone can find their way into a top 24 spot. So 4-0 Borussia Dortmund winners against Villarreal. Napoli 2-0 winners at home to Karabakh, and we can hear from Scott McTominay now, who contributed to two of their goals. Both came in the second half. And again, another happy man at full time.
Obviously, the first 20 minutes, especially me, was difficult. Too many mistakes, too many errors, you know. And obviously, that can happen whenever we've played in such a short period of time over the weekend. So, yeah, we need to look at that and be better in certain situations like that. But, yeah, I thought we responded well in the second half and we had a lot of chances. And now we need to start scoring more goals, you know.
Opening goal on 65 minutes. He thought, and originally given as a McTominay second, but it went down as an own goal. But, I mean, Phil, one of the most informed players in European football, helped his country qualify for the World Cup on that night at Hampden last week, and goes back to Naples and just continues this incredible run of goal scoring.
Just goes from strength to strength, doesn't he? He's got that remarkable knack of being in the right place to profit, really, in situations like that. That's even without the extra one in this game. That's three for him now in the Champions League. And, of course, this one will mean much more than the other two, which came in that remarkable 6-2 defeat that they suffered against PSV. But you mentioned the Scotland situation as well, the part that he played in sending his country to a World Cup in the manner that they managed it. That, of course, will be huge for him, and he's maintained that sort of momentum coming back to his club. But it's the things that he has been doing for his club for the last couple of seasons, really, now, isn't it, that's I think established him as one of perhaps the best all-round midfield players in Europe, certainly on current form. But you can take that further, can't you, over the last season or so.
I think sometimes it can take a while for a player to be unlocked, and sometimes it takes a positional change. And there have been times where he's actually played as a centre-back for Scotland. He's done that, played in a three as a wide centre-back, progressing the ball. Mm. And he's developed this incredible ability to be a box crasher. And it's the timing of the runs. And what ends up happening is it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, because once you get those goals, you think, well, I can do this. And your teammates go, well, he's scoring goals, give him the ball. So he gets much more of the ball. He's getting on the end of these crosses, and he's a big game player. He's become so important for Napoli. Italian media, one of the headlines was McTominay fix it for Napoli, and he's done exactly that. So really important player for them. Huge win, because they haven't hit top gear in this competition. But a big win against Atalanta in Serie A at the weekend. Huge win here.
Yeah, and up to 18th now, on to 7 points from their five games. Second win for them. Karabakh, of course, themselves have been one of the stories. They're still ahead of Napoli on goal difference. And certainly at 0-0, when their goalkeeper saved a penalty, they were on for a point at that stage. Another excellent point. And still, for the team from Azerbaijan, very nicely placed with three games to go, and I think proved again, despite the fact that they lost the game, that they're going to be a match for anybody over 90 minutes in this league phase.
Well, the biggest compliment I can pay them is that they belong at this level. They've shown they can compete in every single game. And what that speaks to is the fact that Hurban Hurbanov has been the coach for so long. He knows these players so well. And they've played at a good level in Europe even before reaching the league phase, because they've played big games in Europe in the Europa League. They've done that time and time again. You might remember when Bayer Leverkusen had their unbeaten league and cup double, and they got to the final of the Europa League and lost to Atalanta, Karabakh nearly knocked them out in the Europa League. They were seconds away from doing it, and Patrick Schick scored right at the end. So this hasn't just come out of nowhere. This is something they've been building towards for quite some time.
So, a win for Napoli. It finished goalless in Prague between Slavia Praha and Athletic Club. Jindrić Štanić was excellent in goal for the hosts on a freezing cold night. So, in terms of the league table for those two sides, Athletic Club currently 28th and Slavia just behind them by a point. So, those two of the clubs in the next three games who will be looking to win games, perhaps to sneak into that top 24 and ultimately extend their European season. Elsewhere, I mentioned there was drama everywhere. Well, it finished in the end 3-2 for Juventus against Bodo Glimt. That tells half the story, Kev. There was a period in the game when the Norwegian champions were ahead and were eyeing up a first ever Champions League victory. And once again, we're talking of entertaining teams. Don't take your eyes off Bodo Glimt matches, because something always happens. Great result in the end, though, for Juve.
They're one of the most fun teams in Europe. They've been doing this for years as well. I talked about Karabakh building towards this.
Yeah.
Bodo Glimt have been knocking on this door for years, and they fully deserve to be at this level. This is massive for Juventus for so many reasons. The first is, I feel like it's a really important win for Luciano Spalletti, who hasn't long taken over from Igor Tudor. But the most important thing is the strikers. Luis Dependa hadn't scored at all for Juventus, scores in this game. Jonathan David hadn't scored since August, and he's got the winner. It had been all on Dusan Vlahovic, really. So for those two to come through in such an important game for Juventus, I think is massive psychologically for that group.
UEFA player of the match was Kenan Yıldız. What a talent he is. Came in at half-time, changed the game, really, and enjoyed the challenge that Bodo Glimt presented.
No, I have to say that it's really a great match today. Compliments to them. They're an amazing team. It was not easy to play here. It was very cold. Also a bit of fake grass, but some players are used to it from the youth. So I think it was nice, and yeah, compliments to them.
Talking of talents, he's pretty good.
Kid's amazing.
As well. Perfect segue, almost like it was planned, to the final one of the late games, a player at the other end of his career, Phil. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. Two goals in double quick time at home to Newcastle, who had taken the lead through Harvey Barnes, and that was enough for Roberto De Zerbi's team to pick up all 3 points. And really, he continues to shine, even though he's in, I think it would be fair to say, the twilight of his career, but he's not showing it on the pitch.
You wouldn't know it, would you, from the level of performance that he's putting in. It's been, I was going to say a remarkable revival, but I think that would be doing him a disservice, because he's consistently delivered at the highest level. Had that spell playing in Saudi Arabia as well, and has come back to Marseille and picked up where he left off, really. And that's a hugely important victory for them, isn't it? And it's not just his goals, I think. It's the aura that he brings to the team, the effect that he has on the rest of the side as well. Also, he still has that ability to link play, to get in behind. He can do a little bit of everything in the final third. But that experience, that influence, so important. Marseille have made some notable signings, of course, since the summer. They've got real strength and depth in their squad. But Aubameyang still looks a really important piece.
That was massive for them, because they'd lost 3 out of 4, Marseille. So to get that win, hugely important. He's started to really show up on a regular basis. You look at Igor Paixão, who I think has played phenomenally well since coming in from Feyenoord. Mason Greenwood's having a good season. But the overall picture is that Roberto De Zerbi, and I thought this from match day one when they went to the Bernabeu in a game we covered against Real Madrid, they look like a De Zerbi team. They are really enterprising going forward. They try and sucker teams in and play through the press. They take all the risks that a De Zerbi team takes. And if they can just adjust to this level and get through to the knockout rounds, nobody is going to want to face them. They're potentially a really dangerous team, I think.
Yeah, they're up to 19th on to 6 points. Newcastle's excellent winning run comes to a halt. Still, at the moment, ahead of Wednesday's games, in the top eight on 9 points and very well positioned. OK, still to come on the podcast, a match between two sides with six European Cups between them.
Take control of your own team of stars with UEFA Champions League Fantasy Football, presented by PlayStation. With incredible prizes up for grabs every match day, download the official Champions League app to get playing.
Yes, in Tuesday's two early kickoffs, we had one match between two European giants in the Netherlands as Ajax played Benfica. In Turkey, Galatasaray welcomed Union Saint-Gilloise to Istanbul.
Looking delivery too, fine save by Yaros. And it's smashed into the top corner by Samuel Dahl. And Benfica lead inside 6 minutes. Benfica have won it by 2-0. Ajax 0, Benfica 2.
Clever ball, and it's in by Promis. Union Saint-Gilloise take the lead. The big Canadian comes up trumps. Wild celebrations from the travelling supporters. Well, has been caught again, it's Arder again. Now then, he's been booked already, and it's a second yellow and a red card for the 18-year-old.
Two excellent away performances. Ajax 0, Benfica 2 then. And after four straight losses, Benfica finally off the mark in this season's league phase. Here's what their boss, Jose Mourinho, made of the performance.
Immediately you have a positive feeling. It's not just the advantage in the score, it's also an emotional advantage. Then during the game and even in the second half, in a period where they had the ball, they start building with three. We accept that. We didn't want to press. We decided to stay compact. Then Dolberg comes. We brought an extra centre-backs. The game was always under control.
Jose Mourinho delighted with the victory, as was the UEFA player of the match, Samuel Dahl, who scored his first Champions League goal for the club.
I feel very happy. I'm very happy for this. It's my first one, hopefully more, and a great team effort today. We suffer a bit, of course. We play a good team. But the most important is we get 3 points and still are alive in the tournament.
Yeah, Benfica with a vital victory. Union Saint-Gilloise, Kev, one of the great success stories, really, of European football over the last couple of years. Big win away against in-form Galatasaray.
It's a massive win, because I have to say, I really favoured Galatasaray in the sense that they were on great form. They've been playing really well, especially at home. So to do what Union have done is really impressive. I mean, they've been to PSV and won. They've been to Galatasaray and won. They've had some other performances where they've struggled because of the lack of experience at this level. That's perfectly understandable. But for David Huber, their coach, who's come in to replace Sebastian Pocognoli, yep, and made the move to Monaco, massive for him. Because you need that as a new coach. You need that kind of real moment. So to go that, I think that's actually one of the most impressive results in the whole league phase so far, because Galatasaray have been playing such good football. So that really gets them back on track, Union Saint-Gilloise. It gives them an opportunity to get through to the knockout rounds.
Moves them up to 22nd and on to 6 points. So that is the nine games on Tuesday. Whistle stop tour. Visit UEFA.com and the Champions League app for more in-depth coverage, interviews, reaction to all of the games. We have nine more matches to look forward to on Wednesday, and full commentary on Match Day Live had to be Arsenal against Bayern. Two teams with 100% record, so something has to give. Ahead of this huge game, Gunners boss Mikel Arteta was asked how he will approach it.
With the same intention to win it, we made a really good preparation again, a really show one, but I think very efficient as well. We know the importance of the match. We are in a really strong position. We want to maintain that for sure. And we know that we have a beautiful and very demanding game ahead of us.
Cannot wait for this one. Wednesday's other matches, Copenhagen against Kairat and Paphos Monaco, the two early kickoffs. Paris Saint-Germain host Tottenham, Liverpool meet PSV at Anfield, Atleti take on Inter, Frankfurt welcome Atalanta to Germany, Sporting against Club Brugge and Olympiacos Real Madrid. Apart from the game in North London, Kev, which I know is your answer but you can't have, which other match stands
taking
out?
Taking that away from me.
I'm taking that away from you.
Absolutely loads of them. I think Frankfurt Atalanta, because I think they've got work to do, but I think are capable of making a splash in this competition. Atleti Inter is just European royalty, right? I mean, that's the Diego Simeone derby, yes, to some extent, of course, because of his ties to both clubs. And I genuinely couldn't call that one, because Inter are back against most teams, but going to Madrid to face Atletico, that's hard for anyone. We saw what Real Madrid's did when they went there. They struggled, and Atletico had their best performance in the season, so that's an absolute belter.
Phil? Kev's stolen half of the game.
Yeah.
Anything else?
The options are narrowed a little, aren't they? But you mentioned Real Madrid. I think going to Olympiacos, having lost against Liverpool last time out, needing a response, going to Piraeus, always difficult for anyone. I think that's going to be a really interesting one. And I'll be covering Sporting Club Brugge as well, and you know, Sporting looking for a third straight home win in the competition, could put themselves in a really good position. But Club Brugge, brilliant against Barcelona, three times they led in the previous game. That's got all the ingredients to be a really open one.
Certainly has. Goals as they go in on Matchday Live and commentary of Arsenal against Bayern on Wednesday nights on UEFA.com and on the Champions League app. So quickly back to Tuesday. This then is the league table. Half the teams have now played five of their eight games. The others have played four. The top eight going straight through to the round of 16 as things stand. Bayern, Arsenal, Inter, Dortmund, Chelsea, Manchester City, Paris Saint-Germain and Newcastle. Then from 9th to 16th, who would be seeded in the knockout phase playoff places. Real Madrid, Liverpool, Galatasaray, Tottenham, Leverkusen, Sporting, Barcelona and Karabakh. 17th to 24th, who would be unseeded in that playoff. Atalanta, Napoli, Marseille, Atleti, Juventus, Union Saint-Gilloise, PSV and Monaco. And the bottom eight currently being eliminated. The bottom teams currently being eliminated, but of course with plenty of games to play. Paphos, Club Brugge, Frankfurt, Athletic Club, Benfica, Slavia Praha, Bodo Glimt, Olympiacos, Copenhagen, Villarreal, Kairat and Ajax. There you have it, 36 of the top clubs in European football. Moment of the night, gents, before we leave, Phil?
I think for me it has to be the Estevao goal, a moment of individual brilliance to cap an outstanding collective Chelsea performance.
I'll say Alex Grimaldo's opener for Leverkusen at Manchester City. He's having a phenomenal season.
Certainly is. Big wins tonight for Leverkusen and others across the UEFA Champions League. That is all we have time for after a dramatic Tuesday. My thanks to Kevin and Phil for their company. And don't forget, you can download the official UEFA Champions League podcast shortly after every match night in this season's competition. Matchday Live back on air from 8:45 CET on Wednesday. The top two come face-to-face with Arsenal against Bayern. Two unbeaten 100% records, plus the goals as they go in from the rest of the games across Europe. Until then, from me, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the team, it is goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.